TalkZone.com.
A streak of fire, a breath of flame, eluding all who reach and clutch. A gray ghost thrown into the game that rival hands may never touch. A rubber-bounding, blasting soul whose destination is the goal, Red Grange of Illinois by Grantland Rice. For many of us, names like Butkus, Nitschke, and Grange are more than mere players on a field. They represent the history, the glory, and the spirit of a university that has contributed so much to this country and has made our lives rich beyond anything we may offer in return. If Virginia belongs to Jefferson, then surely the land-grant legislation proposed and signed by Abraham Lincoln in 1865 gave birth to his home state university in 1867 and countless other institutions for the people, of the people, and by the people. We are the living legacy of Father Abraham's great institution. Sons and daughters of Illinois, our renaissance, in the words of Ron Gunther, is now. From Chicago, the greatest sports city in America, we are proud to bring you Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Hello, Illini Nation. This is Boz and Mr. G with Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Mr. G, it was a great weekend with great weather, beautiful opening of the new stadium, wonderful reunion event, the former Illini greats, and most importantly, our first notch in the win column for the season. And that's the first sentence of an email we've received from none other than Corey at Game Day Spirit on Green Street. And Mr. G, good news, we have a new sponsor joining us this week. Joining our main sponsors, Joe Rizza, Lou Malnati's, Axe Advisors, and Coldwell Banker, is none other than Wildfire Restaurant Steak and Seafood. And they have locations not only in Chicago, but in Minnesota, Atlanta, and the Washington, D.C. area.
We need a bell, so every time we have a new sponsor, we can ring the bell for the sponsor. Maybe Randy behind the glass can figure that one out for us.
Speaking of sponsors, we're going to give Game Day one plug only. Everyone that comes to Talk Zone and sees our banner, all of the orange foam finger and the hat and my orange pullover was purchased there. And last week you made a comment about my aging golf shirt. And after the ball game, I went in to get a new one. My wife agreed with you, but
it's a fluke, but go ahead.
Yeah. I went in, and Corey took care of me and added to a beautiful day.
Was it bling, or did you have to pay for it, Paz?
I did pay, but he gave me a nice discount. Went into his office and got the last large available. They only had XLs and smalls, but, you know, my new workout svelte figure, I could fit back into a large instead of the XL now.
Yeah, svelte, that's what you are. But anyways, he's not wearing the orange golf shirt today. He is wearing his orange pullover there and the orange face paint, and he's looking a little scary, but svelte, nonetheless.
You know, it's funny, in the opening we mentioned Butkus and Nitschke and Grange. Of course, Mr. Butkus was present, along with a lot of other old-time great Illini's. Is there someone other than those three that, in your mind, that would move into the top three of some of the people that were there Saturday, or some that weren't there?
Well, just in terms of the Mount Rushmore of Illinois greats, I think you have to look at it two ways. One, their overall impact on football in general, and two, on their Illini careers. In terms of the Illini career, you know, you'd have to say that perhaps either Dana Howard, Rice, or Hardy would be on Mount Rushmore, along with Grange, Butkus, and Grabowski.
And Nitschke.
Nitschke's pro career obviously clearly outshined his college career. I think we won four Helms trophies. You got to have more people in there, I think, from the early 1920s, the 19-teens. You don't win four national championships without great players, and I think that stats really fall second to the impact they had vis-a-vis other players of their era. To me, that's a more important criteria.
Well, again, it was a beautiful day, and I got lucky to meet some of the gentlemen up in the press box at halftime. And let's finish up Corey's email. He wanted to know about stopping the run. Travis Best from He calls a championship subdivision school, which is still 1AA to me. Rushford.
By the way, it's Trevaris Bess.
I apologize.
It's
but
quite all right.
You're the linguinist?
No, that would be an Italian dish at a restaurant. I would be the linguist.
Okay. Does that come with clam sauce?
Only on your shirt.
Okay, well, but I get the white, so it doesn't show much. Anyway, Mr. Bess rushed for 183 yards on our own home turf. And Corey wants to know what the heck we're going to do to stop that once the Big Ten rolls around and we got to play Penn State and Wisconsin and Ohio State and teams like that that should probably run even better than an Eastern Illinois.
Well, one, we need more than one defensive tackle in the game. The Will Davis experiment has to end sometime soon. It's one thing to bring him on third down situations, but against real teams in the Big Ten Conference, you can't play with one defensive tackle. That's going to be predicated upon how quickly Legit comes along and how soon Josh Brent comes back. And the other thing that we need to do is stop missing assignments. Our linebackers, our safeties are missing assignments not only on pass plays, but on run plays. They're not in the right place. Their angles are poor. And until we fix that issue and stop missing so many assignments, and by the way, I have it on firsthand knowledge that the missed assignments this year versus last year are way up over last year.
Fans, we got a great show for you today. Coming up at about 22 after the first hour will be Mark Tupper. And a little after the break at the halftime is Scott Dottillo. Scott is the head coach of Sycamore High School in Cincinnati. And he's coaching two young men that have already verbaled to the U of I, a running back by the name of Bud Golden and a wide receiver by the name of Steve Hull.
By the way, Golden's stats are off the charts in three games. He's got 660 yards rushing in three games. Hull, who I've seen his film, looks very good, very solid receiver, almost like a Ricky Prohl type receiver. Very good hands, very good leaping ability, and good flat-out speed as well.
So we'll talk to the coach about those two players, and then at about 40 after the second hour, we're going to have Jay Walker, who's the play-by-play man for the Ragin' Cajuns of Louisiana Lafayette.
Somebody mentioned that shouldn't a Ragin' Cajun be a politically banned incorrect name as well, a band name? Is it really proper to call somebody of French Louisiana descent a Ragin' Cajun?
You're asking me. I was going to ask you if it's Lafayette or Lafayette.
It's Lafayette, but it depends if you're in Bourbonnais or Bourbonnais, depending upon whether you live in Illinois or France.
We have a second email, Mr. G. It's from Richard in Urbana, and he says, Scott, he must know you personally.
Perhaps.
He says, Scott, that opening just tickles the cockles of my heart. You read it just like I wrote it for you. Your good friend, Chancellor Herman. That's so nice of him.
Richard and I both share a passion for all things Illinois, and in particular the legacy of Lincoln and how it relates to this university and other countless other private and public universities, particularly public universities in the United States. I can't tell you how much, and I appreciate Chancellor Herman's support and appreciate what he does for this university. We are lucky to have him at the leadership position at this university.
And Mr. G is on a first-name basis with him and does call him Richard in private, and that's a nice relationship to have.
Perhaps. But it is a nice relationship, but when I'm on the air, I should refer to him as Chancellor Herman. But I want to sum up the difference between Boz and I, and really it's best summed up in our game day experience on Saturday against Eastern Illinois. Boz is in the press box. He's, you know, schmoozing with this writer, that writer. I see him on the field finally, you know, in the second half. He's in the corner of the end zone wearing his orange pullover, his Illini hat. He's got his clipboard in hand. He's applauding. He's cheering. I think he gave the touchdown signal once. I'm up in the press box. Excuse me. I'm up in my luxury suite sipping a Bombay Sapphire gin and tonic with two lime wedges in it. By the way, that is my warm weather drink of choice. And I'm upset. I'm upset because I don't think that we look anywhere close to a top 20 football team, even a top 25 football team. So while Boz is cheering on the sidelines, I am in a funk because I don't see what I thought we were going to see from this team early on in the year.
And point number one, where do you want to start? Offense, defense, special teams? Speaking of special teams, someone must be listening down there because I noticed Cordell Scott was not chasing receivers on kickoffs this week, and actually Jason Ford made a few tackles.
Perhaps your good friend Coach Zook is listening to our show and picked up on our advice last time.
Or Coach Woodford, the special teams coach.
Coach Zook is very, very involved in special teams, though. This is an area of expertise that he feels very strongly about. He takes great pride in the special teams, and I'm absolutely certain that he's not happy with our coverage on either punts or kickoff returns.
Right. I heard him say it's not only the coverage, but it's some of the kicking. You know, they kind of make a plan and say try to kick it over here, and for some reason it goes over there, and it kind of messes things up the way guys run down the field, I guess.
No, our kickoff specialist does not do a very good job of placing the ball where he's told to place it. We did not intend to kick the ball to Macklin. We had spots on the field where the ball was supposed to go to. We did not execute that very well.
On the flip side, young Mr. Eller, our field goal kicker, made a few and seems like he's getting comfortable out there, and that's going to be important down the road in close games.
And especially as he develops, he's only a freshman. This is a kid we'll have for four more years. I thought he looked very solid on his two field goals, as well as he was, what was he, 5 for 5 on extra points as well, 6 for 6 on extra points. Did a very nice job, and actually 5 for 5 because we went for 2 once. By the way, I'm a numbers guy. I believe in numbers. I believe in statistics. And if you look at the charts for when to go for 2, when you're up 19-7 in the first half, you don't go for 2. It's a bugaboo I have. We should have never gone for 2 in that situation. All you can do by going for 2 in that situation is really fail. Because if you don't make it, you've given the team momentum back in the game. If it's 20-7 and you're a dominant team anyways, you know, it's no different or not appreciably different than being up 21-7. I really don't like that strategy at all.
So your fancy suite, didn't he have a cable in it to wire down to the coach to say, no, not a good move?
No, it didn't.
You want some numbers?
Sure.
I got plenty of numbers in front of me. They ran for... Wait, I'm having a hard time.
I can tell you what they ran for.
176 yards net. Actually, you know, we gave up 278 total offense. But still, against an Eastern Illinois team, that's not good enough, I don't think.
What is that called, a bowl basement team?
One double A. You know, you could call it what you want. To me, it's 1AA. And let's get back to this for a second. Too many of the rushing yards are right up the middle. I mean, are we missing Chris Norwell and Mike Ware that much?
Well, I think we're missing a second defensive tackle that much, and our linebackers are not where they're supposed to be all the time. Although the coaches continue to be pleased with the progress of Martez Wilson, and they think that he's doing an outstanding job and he's getting better week in, week out. Remember, this was only his second start. I think what's more disappointing is if somebody would have told you before the year started that we would have missed Lehman more than Mendenhall, you would have probably said they were crazy.
Do we, again, Will Davis needs to be at end. I think we agree with that. But then who do we plug into the middle? We've got a Darryl Ballou, 313 pounds. He's a redshirt freshman. We've got... Ontario Jackson, a sophomore, 6'2", 277. We've got a Clay Nurse, who's been on the field with us, another sophomore, 6'3".
Nurse is undersized.
Right,
to play
he's more of an end.
I think ultimately what you want is a rotation of Brent, Legit, Ballou, and, of course, Lundquist. And those four should be your rotation. I guess we find out fairly soon whether Brent's going to come back this week. We're supposed to find out by later in the week.
Is that Vern Lundquist's nephew, or is it Lindquist? The people in Highland Park will be all over you on that, but that's okay. I just had to give you that. We're going to ask Mark Tupper in a few minutes about the Brent situation. Let's Let's look at a couple positives. Again, I was up. The beauty of the press box is that they give you stats at the end of the quarter and the play-by-play and everything. So I was just making random notes.
By the way, we get dessert at halftime.
I got pretzels. Pretzels and I chose
little souffle,
water over,
chocolate cake, you know.
Well, you know,
fresh fruit, vegetables.
I think you had to pay for admission, and I got in for nothing. That's the difference. But nevertheless, I had a great time, great company. I was in the top row. I've never been so high since, you know, Great America when I was 15 years old.
I thought you were going to say since your days at U of I, but we won't go there. But
thank you very much. They came out. Running the ball much better, but I'm not sure if, again, you know, thinking back to Missouri, Missouri was stopping our run. They were stopping the pitch. I still have a little question about our ability to go up the middle with Dufresne and our guys against better competition. But at least Juice was looking to run more, which I think has to be part of the offense to, you know, to diversify it more. The pitch was working. We'll see down the road if that's going to work against Big Ten teams. One other thing I liked in the first quarter, you remember I commented in St. Louis that, you know, Regis seemingly wasn't getting enough touches in the first quarter. He had 7 touches out of his 12 in the game in the first quarter, so I like that.
But I will say this about Regis Benn. He was being double and triple teamed all day long. A lot of Regis's impact on the game doesn't necessarily show up in statistics. It's what kind of manpower he deflects from other players and gives them opportunities to run or catch the ball. Regis Benn makes an impact on the play if he doesn't make a single catch, because he's being doubled and triple teamed on every play.
Agreed, and that's just going to open up the wide sides, hopefully, for, you know, Judson and Duvault, which, you know, they each made a couple catches. And again, I want to give kudos to freshman Fred Sykes. This guy just looks like he's been playing forever. Doesn't look like a freshman. He's very comfortable out there. He blocks. At the end of the second quarter, going into halftime, we were moving the ball down. The clock was running down. He caught a ball, an out pattern, knew to get out of bounds. Looks very polished. I like him a lot.
But other than Ben, so far he's looked like our most polished all-around receiver. I think that he's done all the things right that you would expect of a veteran, and he's only a true freshman.
Absolutely.
By the way, you're listening to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. Call us at 888-463-6748, 888-463-6748, or contact us at talkingillini@yahoo.com.
We got a couple minutes here before the break. Finishing up on the receivers, don't forget Cumberland coming back no later than the Penn State game, hopefully, will certainly help that. And as long as we're talking about Eastern Illinois and how to evaluate this game and if we're making progress or not, Larry from Schaumburg wants to know via email, when will Illinois start to schedule non-conference games with major conferences like the Pac-10 or the SEC?
Now, I think we have to ask Coach Gunther about that one.
You know, I think, frankly, now that we're up to 12 games, you got to go round robin in the conference and just have 2 non-conference games and maybe, you know, 1 tough one and 1 not-so-tough one.
Michigan, to their credit, has advocated for 9 conference games. I don't think you can go round robin. I think you can get up to 9 with a 12-game schedule. 9 is the max that I would do. I would not do a true round robin.
We're going to take a break. Well, you got Mark Tupper coming up in a couple minutes. You're listening to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. You can email us at TalkingIllini@yahoo.com or call us at 888-463-6748. Don't go away. Mark Tupper coming up in a moment.
Hey, Illini fans. Looking to win in the game of real estate? There's never been a better time to buy a new home. Interest rates are low, there are plenty of homes to choose from, and ultimately real estate is a great investment. Greg Fisher of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is experienced, professional, and dedicated. As your realtor, Greg can help you find the perfect new home. Contact Greg today at 847-681-4173 or learn more at gregshouses.com. Buy or sell with the man who knows his X's and O's. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT LLC.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find the location nearest you.
You find the car you want at RizzoCurves.com. RizzoCurves.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzoCurves.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzoCurves.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzoCurves.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzoCurves.com. RizzoCurves.com.
Make us a favorite button on your browser.
If you click it, you'll go to that page.
TalkZone.com. Your first choice for talk on the internet. Welcome to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com.
We are back. Again, we'd like to thank our sponsors from that spot, Joe Rizzo Auto Dealerships, Coldwell Banker, and our new sponsor this week, Wildfire Steaks, Chops, and Seafood. And Wildfire has locations in the Chicago area, downtown, Glenview, Schaumburg, Lincolnshire. I've eaten at them all, and it's delicious. I get the porterhouse.
Okay.
Medium.
Enough.
Are you getting hungry?
No, not at all.
Bring in our guest, please, Mr. G.
Want to talk about Mark Tupper. He's an Illini columnist extraordinaire for the Decatur Herald and Review, as well as his syndicated network. He's the author of a widely read web blog on Illinois sports. He's a book author. You're a radio personality. Am I leaving anything out for Mark Tupper?
I don't know. That sounds like more than there ought to be anyhow. So,
well, Mr. G can embellish Mark with the best of them.
Yeah. Well, I'm also leaving out that you're a buddy of our guy, Herb Gould, as well.
Yeah, Herb's a good friend. We do a lot of things together. Herb's a great guy.
You know, Mr. G, Mark is on first-name basis with the chancellor and coach. Could we call you Tup or Tups? What does everyone call it? With an S or is it no S?
They call me Tups.
Okay. From now on, you're Tups.
Good. Thanks
for joining us.
Tups is Tops in our book.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, happy to join you. How's it going?
It's going great. We're gonna put you right on the spot right away. Mr. G, with the legal background, is going to put you to the fire. Is that what we say?
You're so close to the administration and the coaching staff, and you have to work with them so closely. If you had negative information on a player, would you sit on it or would you disclose it?
Well, it depends on what the information is. And, you know, if it's something that's fairly serious about a kid, or that would sound fairly serious about a kid, I'd like to have somebody verified on the record. Right now, I mean, we've got a situation at Illinois where it's a little more difficult to find out what's going on because Ron Zook's closed practice, and he's not the only coach in the country doing that. I think more do it than don't do it. So you can't see who's practicing on a daily basis. You can't see who's attending practice on a daily basis. So you kind of are in the dark until game day, and then you look around and do a head count, and you see who's on the sideline, who isn't, and that's a little bit of a deal too to try to come up with that. And then, sometimes if you, and then the other thing that's happened here, very specifically with Josh Brent, is that the answers have been so weird whenever anyone asked about Josh Brent. And first of all, we're going to ask about Josh Brent. So Rod Williams gets hurt. They tell us Josh Brent's the starter. Okay, that's good. He's a Central Illinois kid. He's from Bloomington. He was a highly regarded recruit. We want to see Josh Brent. He's a nice kid to talk to. I enjoy him. I want to see him play. All of a sudden, we're at the Missouri game. No Josh Brent. Now we're at the game Saturday against Eastern Illinois. They still list him number one on their depth chart. I'm looking at it right here. Josh Brent, starting defensive tackle. Josh Brent, not only doesn't play, as far as I know, he wasn't even there.
So you're not buying the illness issue?
No, I'm not buying the illness thing. And if you listen to Ron, and if you listen to Ron, he said after the game, he's got an issue to take care of, an illness to take care of. So he said an issue, then he said an illness, and I can appreciate. I'm not throwing this all at Coach Zook. I'm saying coaches can be in a difficult situation where there may be privacy issues. There may be issues where he wants to respect the kid and his parents' wishes on something. And I'm just saying it's a very nebulous, peculiar thing that makes us all wonder more, not less, but more about what's going on with him. And, you know, we'd appreciate a straight answer. Maybe he would love to give us a straight answer and simply can't. Sometimes university lawyers will get involved and say, you can't comment on this right now, and that's happened before. So we're kind of, and then in the meantime, you inevitably will hear a rumor. Somebody will come up to you and say, hey, listen, here's what I'm hearing from a trainer or from a so-and-so. And out of respect to the kid and his family, until someone in an official position is willing to say this is definitively what it is, we kind of are maybe a little bit hamstrung to try to find out or to say exactly what's up with Josh Brent. And yet I think the curiosity that we have for him is pretty understandable. I mean, they're having some problems on defense right now. Josh Brent's a guy that it would seem to me could help them.
You can't play defense against Big Ten schools with one defensive tackle. That's pretty clear to all of us.
That's pretty clear to all of us, and they're already using a defensive end at defensive tackle with Will Davis in there. You know, I can understand what Ron Zook said the other day about getting a somewhat undersized but really quick guy in there to raise a little hell. I can understand that, but I watched all through practice. Will Davis was a ton rushing from the edge, and I would like to see him back out on the edge and see Josh Brent and Corey Legit or whatever you wanted to do at the tackle positions, but without Josh Brent in there right now, that's kind of a moot point. And I don't know, as I speak with you guys right now, is Josh Brent going to play Saturday? Is Josh Brent going to be in uniform Saturday? Is Josh Brent still with the program? Sounds like he's still with the program. I wouldn't guess they'd list him as a defensive tackle, and if they had some resolution, I think they'd say so. But so I assume he is, and I assume that they're trying to get whatever it is cleared up. Is it an issue? Is it an illness? Is it something else? I don't know.
We need answers.
Yeah, well, we'd like them, and fans would like them.
What about somebody like Ramsey or Williams, who, you know, that may pertain to an academic issue? Is that fair game?
Well, Ramsey, he said, was an academic issue. So that's very fair, at least to say it's an academic issue. And then he also said he thought he would get that cleared up and be back. And then who was the other one that the same?
Ashante Williams.
Yeah, but there was another one.
Nixon.
Yeah, Patrick Nixon, who he said that wouldn't work out for him. Okay, so we can kind of cross Patrick Nixon off the list for now. And but Ashante Williams was at the game, was in jersey, not in pads. He was one of four players that walked out just in wearing those retro jerseys and like jeans or something. And when we asked the question about him, we got the rather nebulous answers. In fact, I went to one of the assistant coaches and said, hey, Coach Zook asked me to ask you about Ashante, and he knew that was not true. And I kind of was smiling when I said it, and he kind of gave me a little bit of an in-jest expletive. And in other words, he wasn't going to touch that one. And you guys have probably been around this enough to figure out if it's an injury, if it's a legitimate issue, they would generally say something like that. But if you get into some other areas, then, you know, assistants in particular, they figure I don't get paid enough money to answer. Let the head coach answer that one.
Last question, Mark, on this subject, then we'll move on to the team and moving forward. You know, as a parent of college students, you know, I can understand the privacy issues and that type of thing. What troubles me is the mixed signals and you know, if the department would have just come out and said something to the effect of, you know, there's some issues with Josh, we're trying to clear it up, until we do, he's not going to play in games, he's still with us, etc., that would be fine. But the mixed signals are kind of confusing. As a media professional, and I emphasize that because Mr. G and I are just kind of playing around here, you know, where do you draw the line, or how hard do you, you know, search and pull up carpets to look for the real answers to get to your fans?
Well, you can do some other things, and I've talked to, our paper is owned by Lee Enterprises. Lee Enterprises also owns St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Quad City Times, Bloomington Pantograph, Carbondale, Southern Illinois, and Mattoon, Charleston, Times Courier. I called the guys in Bloomington because Josh Brent's from Bloomington, and just appraised them of the situation. And sometimes the guy who will tell you is maybe the high school coach, you know, who stays in contact with the kid and whatever, and doesn't think too much about, you know, just passing along what he knows. You know, he's talked to the family, he's talked to the kid. Look, here's the deal, you know. So, you know, that's one way to investigate it as well. But the fact of the matter is, without being at practice every day, you know, you're not going to even know. I mean, I would be curious to know, is Josh practicing? Is he at practice and on the sideline? Is he, you know, what is his status? I mean, it's weird when a kid doesn't show up at a game, a home game.
He was at the game, but in street clothes.
Street clothes. I mean, but it's weird when the kid's not in uniform.
Let's move on and talk about the first 2 weeks of the season. What have we learned about this football team?
I think we've learned that this football team has some weapons on offense. I think we saw Juice Williams, the passer, in week one. We saw Juice Williams, the runner, in week two. And he can do both. And he looks far more composed to me. You know, they're still leaving some plays out there, no doubt about that. But making a lot of plays, he looks a half a step faster to me.
I agree.
And I don't really have an explanation for that, but I thought he had more burst the other day when he was running. I think we have reason to feel like the running back by committee thing that Coach Zooks talked about could work to some degree. I think Dufresne's going to be decent. I think LeSure, Pollard, and then I still think Ford is going to get on track and do some things too. I think there's enough there. I think there's some depth at wide receiver, particularly when Jeff Cumberland comes back. And then I think we've also learned that there's work to do on defense, that this team's given up too many big plays. They've missed too many tackles. They're trying to get things sorted out in the secondary with the injury to Miami Thomas and the absence of Dante Hardeman. I think that their recruiting hole starts to show up at linebacker, particularly on the inside. And after Martez, I think there's just a lot of guys. I don't see anybody really stepping up and dazzling us. And they've done a great job of recruiting. So, but I would hope that that is a priority to go out and really get a couple stud linebackers.
If you've got questions for Mark Tupper, call us at 888-463-6748 or contact us at talkingalini@yahoo.com. Mark, if somebody would have told you before the year started that we would miss Jay Layman more than Rashard Mendenhall, what would you have said to them?
I guess I would have been surprised at that, and maybe that's true. You know, Jay, I think there's a number of things going on the defense. I don't think they're settled anywhere on the defense. I really don't. I don't think they're settled on the defensive line for some of the reasons we talked about. I definitely think they're not settled in the secondary. I mean, they made a change this last week, brought Miami Thomas in as the starting cornerback, and he's out there for a short time and gets hurt, and now he's done for the year. They will get Hardeman back in a couple weeks, and that will help, I think. And so they've got some people to plug in, but at linebacker, you know, there's not a lot of plays being made. I know Britt Miller's got good tackle totals. So there's nothing wrong with his 23 tackles in two games. He's got an interception. He forced a fumble, got a sack, but he's also missed a number of tackles. Martez Wilson has made some plays, but could make more. And then after those two guys, it seems to me to be a pretty good drop-off to find other playmakers at the linebacker position. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, yeah, and they're young and inexperienced, but somehow we got to get them on the field, both for this year and next year. And the interesting thing is every time you ask somebody, you get a different name each week, whether it's, you know, Ellington was the first guy in this week, and he seems to be certainly a little ahead of the freshman, and maybe, you know, also ahead of Ian Thomas and Dustin Jefferson. Although, you know, I've had a couple people kind of whisper to me that they still are looking for exciting things from Jefferson, that he's coming along slow, but he's coming along, and they look for him to be a contributor sometime soon.
The two positions that I think we've got a remarkable lack of depth at, especially amongst veteran 2D players, are linebacker and O-line. We've got nice young offensive linemen. We've got nice young defensive linemen and some nice... I'm not even sure we have nice young linebackers yet. I haven't seen that yet. But it seems like their veteran depth, and maybe this is a holdover from the transition from Turner to Zook.
Well, it could be, and they've got to start rotating in some of those young offensive linemen, as you said, because they got three seniors that are going to be gone from the center over. That whole left side is going to be out of there. And so I see Corey Lewis playing some, which is good. And they probably need to find some time for Jeff Allen and for either Jack Cornell or somebody, you know, Graham Posick, somebody. They need to get some of those young guys in there on occasion and get them some experience, because they're going to have to, somebody's going to have to play next year.
Mark, we got to take a break. Can you hang on with us a few more minutes?
I sure can.
Terrific. You're listening to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. Give us a call at 888-463-6748 or contact us at TalkingIllini@yahoo.com. Mark Tupper will come back with us for a few more minutes after the break.
Don't put off the things you should do today. Start a financial plan with AXA Advisors. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 847-291-3669. That's 847-291-3669. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The award-winning SunTracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the SunTracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. SunTracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
Online, on demand, and on your mind. TalkZone.com.
Of Decatur
now,
here.
Let's get back in the game for more Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Here are your hosts, Boz and Mr. G.
We are back with our guest, Mark Tupper, of Decatur Herald in Review. Mark, clearly Saturday they came out emphasizing the run. It looked like Juice was looking to run a little more than the Missouri game, although I think Missouri did a good job stopping the option. How much can we tell, again, playing Eastern? Are we going to be able to, you know, run like we have the last 2 years when we get into the Big Ten Conference?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much you can tell playing Eastern. I do know that when we were in training camp at Rantoul, it's impossible for me to gauge their running game because Juice is wearing a red shirt. Nobody can touch him. And the quarterback carrying the ball is a huge part of their running offense. And when you can't factor that in, you're really only getting a portion of what they do and do well. I think you'll see them continue to try to run it this week. I think Mike Loxley said after the game he wants teams to remember that they have to game plan for their option. And Juice was really good running the football the other day. I mean, he's a load, no doubt about that. I think they'll try to mix it up, and I think they'll continue to give teams lots to think about. And I think we'll see them also probably go back down the field a little bit too and try to get the ball to either Will Judson or Chris Duvall on the run down the field. And I don't know whether we'll get Cumberland back this week or not. There's not really, I don't think, any need to rush him, so if they feel like they would be rushing him a little bit, they probably just hold him to Penn State. But I'm anxious to see him on the field because he's such a big target.
Yeah, absolutely. They say from week one to week two, you see the most improvement in a college football team. Where did you see improvement, and where did you see regression?
I saw improvement in the running game. I saw improvement in Matt Eller's confidence as a place kicker. And that was good. You know, we haven't had, you know, they had the blocked extra point, okay, and they haven't, they have not positionally kicked off as well as they want to in terms of directing the ball. But, you know, I when you think about the two games, I'm not losing any sleep thinking about Eller right now. I mean, I might end up, and I'm not losing any sleep thinking about Anthony Santella punting the ball. You know, we're never going to see Yelton again, are we? I don't think so. I mean, really, and he's the kid with the scholarship. It's kind of a awkward situation. We talked about, you know, doesn't Anthony Santella probably earn one as a walk-on guy who transferred? And Zook was like, yeah, he probably does, but I got one tied up, and I don't really want to tie up another one, you know? And so Santella either probably continues to pay his way, or Yelton gets tired and says, I'm out of here. I don't know.
At least he's an in-state kid.
That's up to him, I guess. Yeah, exactly. It makes it a little more affordable. So I just wish I'd have seen more improvement from the defense. You know, especially, let's face it, you walk out onto the field, everybody is thinking, okay, they didn't tackle well against Missouri. And Missouri gouged them with the run. Let's see some improvement right away. And the first possession from Eastern, they go 66 yards and three running plays for a touchdown. And you're like, what? That can't happen. And it kind of shaded the way we think about the whole game. They weren't that bad the whole game. And they had a couple of other big plays, too, one on a screen pass and so forth. But I just wish we'd have seen better tackling. And I didn't want to see an Eastern tailback go for 183 yards.
And 223 yards of total offense from a 5'8". 175-pound or 180-pound kid soaking wet.
Yeah,
you know, that doesn't bode well for our prospects as we play better teams.
Yeah, and so, you know, if he does that, what's Beanie Wells do? So,
I mean, the coaching staff has talked about missed assignments, and whether you call it missed assignments or poor tackling angles or poor tackling techniques, we're not in the right place, and once we're in the right place, we're not wrapping up and finishing tackles.
I would agree with that, and I think that's got to improve, and it might. But it bothers me that they're not in the right place. And, you know, tackling, come on. Just, you know, I know the guy that sounded most upset about it was Dana Howard up in the press box. You know, he was like, guys are diving at people. You got to drive into them with your legs and wrap up. And, you know, you could see that he just wanted to go down there and demonstrate it, you know. And he was pretty good at it. I know there's a lot of pride involved for them. I know there is for Britt. I know there is for Martez. I hope there is for Rodney Pittman. But you know, you got to start showing it. And they're going to face a couple guys who can run the ball this week in Louisiana Lafayette. This Tyrell Fenroy is a good running back. I think he's the second active returning running back in the nation. He's rushed over 1,000 yards each of his first three seasons. And then their quarterback, Michael DeSormo, who is a distant cousin of the jockey Kent DeSormo, he can run. He rushed for over 1,000 yards last year. So they got a couple guys that can run the ball. And, you know, wrap them up, stop them.
That's not bad for a 5'2" quarterback.
Not bad. Now, mine says 6'2", 220.
Oh, okay. So he's not a jockey, too.
No, he's not.
You know, Herb in his column quoted Dana Howard as saying, I saw some lackadaisical things in the Missouri game about Martez Wilson, where it was almost as if he was lost. I'm not dogging him. He's a great talent. He's obviously going to play on Sundays. I don't think he realizes what he has.
Well, I think that's fine to say that, and he said I'm being critical because I think of them as little brothers, and he said if I can't be critical, who can? But let's also be fair to Martez Wilson. The Missouri game was his first college start, and you know what? There's gonna be some things happen to you there against a hell of a defense. Now, am I right? I mean, that's pretty good defense Missouri's got.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I thought he was better Saturday. And you know, when Britt Miller got that sack and knocked the ball loose, he told me. He said, the reason I got it is because of Martez. Martez lined up over there. They all thought he was going to blitz. They shaded their stuff over towards Martez, and it's created a lane for me to come in. So Martez didn't make the play, but his presence helped create the play.
Are you concerned that Block in particular and Palmer to a lesser extent don't look like Big Ten ready offensive linemen at this point?
Yeah, sure. I am a little bit concerned about that, and I don't know what the answer is for them, though, because I think they feel they've got the best people there now. I think they would make a change at Palmer more quickly than they would with Block. But, you know, those guys got to get better in a hurry. Those guys haven't logged a lot of plays. But I'm a little concerned about that. You get big guys there. And where are the other guys? I mean, is there nobody else making enough progress to consider moving into one of those spots? I don't know.
Well, if you were allowed into practice, maybe you could tell us.
You know, if we were in practice, you could kind of say, this guy is just not there. Or this guy really looks like he's getting close and might have earned some more minutes. And I don't know if it's that they don't want you to see that. Or, you know, the whole injury thing has really become an issue. It used to be teams would have a whole section in their weekly press release on injuries, and they would describe them all, left knee, right knee. And now they get upset if you say right knee or left knee, and their thinking is because if another team knows it's his left knee, they'll dive into his left knee. Okay, well, I guess that's right. But if you stand up there, and they say they don't want to talk about it, but after the game, if you stand up and say, Coach, what about so-and-so? He'll say, yeah, he hurt his left knee, and... You know, I'm a little confused as to where we are on it. I just know they don't want us to see any of it.
I've got a two-part question for you. Do you feel better or worse about this year's team as it compares to last year? And how about from the beginning of the year?
Well, I thought this team would be better than last year's team, and I don't know whether it is. I do think this team is going to be better offensively. Right now, I worry that they're worse defensively. And, you know, we're still early here. I'd like to see some more, but we've only got one. They only get one more dress rehearsal before Big Ten play starts, and it starts on the road. So they better show us something on Saturday, I think. They better show themselves something.
How would you rate the coaches so far?
You're rating coaches on a lot of things. I mean, aren't you also rating them on recruiting? I mean, if you're rating them on everything they do, or are you just rating them on what they do in teaching and game day?
Let's say that we believe they've done a great job of recruiting.
Okay.
Let's rate them on their schemes and their technique.
I think Loxley's pretty damn good. I think Loxley's real good. I like him a lot. I'm a big fan. I think he'll be a head coach. I think he'll make a ton of money. And I think if I had a program, I'd be hiring him tomorrow. Defensively, I'm not convinced that this two-headed coordinator thing is the best deal there. You might have two guys that would be better served to just be position coaches and have someone else calling it out. But I see people every once in a while talking about changing to a different defensive philosophy. That ain't going to happen. You know, Zook has told every recruit when they come into the program, we will play the same defensive system and style. You're all 4 years here. I promise you that. He's promised them that on offense. And so that's not going to change, according to him. That's not going to change. So if you want something different, don't be looking for a different scheme, because that's not going to happen.
Were you surprised in the Missouri game that we didn't show Chase Daniel more looks? We didn't line up seven on the line, maybe dropped four of those seven in the coverage, or maybe came with five or six on a certain play, and that we played such a vanilla, soft defense the entire game?
I think they thought that they could confuse themselves with so many new guys in positions in that first game, I think they just felt like, you know what, if we just do fewer things and try to do them well, we'd be better off. And they did fewer things, and they didn't do them well, and that cost them.
Before we let you go, and it's been an absolute pleasure, Tubbs, to have you on our show, I want you to rank and describe your top three Illini moments of all time.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Just the ones that come to mind right off the bat. I remember certainly last year's victory at Ohio State have to be up there very, very high. Just the way they played keep away from the Buckeyes the last 8 minutes was amazing. The Illinois victory at Michigan when they came from behind with Rocky Harvey diving into the end zone and all that stuff.
I thought you were going to say the Klein catch.
That was the Klein. I was there for that one, too. That was a good one. I thought, you know, one that was just really fun was Illinois' big victory over Virginia in the MicronPC.com Bowl. Very convincing, kind of a highlight of Ron Turner's regime, if you will, although winning the Big Ten title was neat too. It just didn't finish very good in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know. Those ones come to mind.
How about Arizona in basketball?
That's a good one. You know, I was there that day that Howard Griffith scored the 8 touchdowns, which was kind of exciting. It wasn't a big victory in terms of a Big Ten rival, but still to realize what you were watching was pretty cool. I was over there for many of those Ohio State victories when Dana Howard predicted a victory over there and then backed it up over in Columbus. That was fun, too, when they beat East Carolina in the bowl game. I don't know. Been there for some pretty neat ones through the years. I'd say the one last year, though, when they beat Ohio State in Columbus, the way it was, the kind of signaling that they were there and the fact that that game got them the recognition to put them in the Rose Bowl, that was awful big.
You know, Mark, when we have you back on, hopefully during basketball season, I want you to think about your 3 greatest basketball moments before we get you on.
I can do that. It's
been an absolute pleasure. You are the voice of Illinois sports for so many of us in the state of Illinois and beyond. We read your column religiously. You do a great job of covering Illinois sports. Can't thank you enough for coming on Boz and Mr. G.
Well, thanks for the invitation. I appreciate it, guys. Be happy to do it any time and look forward to seeing you at Saturday's game.
Tops, do I have to get up in the box a little earlier to get a little better food or what?
You know what? I was a little disappointed in that, too. But we gave them a first-week pass because they really poured their energies into getting those suites ready for the people that are paying $50,000 a year for them, which I understood that. But we put them on notice this week. Got to upgrade the chow.
By the way, Tups, if you get down to the suite level, we've got suite 631.
Okay.
You come in. If the food's a little better down there, just tell them you know Mr. G.
You got it. Sounds great.
See you Saturday.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you. You're listening to Boz and Mr. G talking Illini on TalkZone.com. We've got a couple more minutes, Mr. G, before the break. I would like to acknowledge one Tavon Wilson, freshman from D.C. Woodson High School, who came into the game after Miami got hurt. They inserted Tavon in at cornerback, and there was a 4th and goal from the 4 or 5, a running play. He darted in off of the left end, and he made the tackle. As far as I'm concerned, he got credit for half a tackle. They gave another half, I think, to Miller. And I watched the replay when I got home, and the announcers never even talked about him. But he made one heck of a play for his fourth snap from scrimmage on the field. And then what baffled me, when they went on the field next time, he wasn't there. They put Hicks back at corner and put Bussey in at safety.
I want you to comment for a moment on hopefully getting back Brent, Cumberland, and Hardeman within the next 1 to 2 games and what that'll mean to this team.
Well, obviously, you know, we've talked about Brent plenty already, and we need to shore up that middle. And even Tupp said that, you know, Will Davis's position is the rush end and getting sacks out there. So, you know, hopefully that situation gets straightened out and Brent gets back in there. Like Tupp said, hopefully he's at least practicing so he's not falling behind. Cumberland, I agree with Tupps. There's really no hurry to rush him for next week, but I expect him 3 weeks from now at Penn State. And certainly that'll help the offense, although, again, you know, right now our skill positions look fine. We're a little worried about the line. Hardeman, I hope he's back at Penn State. Honestly, I'll believe it when I see it because that's what everybody's saying. And I saw him walking off the field. I asked him if he's going to be back soon, and he said, I hope so. And I said, Penn State? And he said, I hope so, but he wasn't that convincing, and he had a little limp. Now, I don't know if that's his kind of normal giddy-up or what. So we need someone back there to hit and tackle and wrap up, and he's obviously a guy that people have been talking about for a long, long time, and hopefully he can do it because some of the other guys are lacking right now.
There are many on the coaching staff who believe that Hardeman is our best safety, best tackler, most efficient safety, and that his absence in this lineup has hurt us against Missouri and Eastern Illinois.
Well, hopefully he could come in and do what everyone's saying, because that's a position that struggled, and as we saw on Saturday, they shook that up like popcorn in a bag to start the game. We had Hicks at safety, and Miami and Vontae were at the corners, and Bellamy started but had a bad first series. They put Flowers in, and then, you know, again, juggled Hicks back the corner and Bussey in. So, you know, they're still trying to mix and match also.
We're going to take a break, and you're going to hear from some of our sponsors. Again, you're listening to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. Call us at 888-463-6748 or find us at TalkingIllini@yahoo.com.
Here's to fall, football, and fabulous food from Lou Malnati's. Satisfy your game day fix with authentic Chicago-style deep-dish pizza from Lou Malnati's. With its gooey mozzarella cheese, sweet, tangy tomatoes, and buttery, flaky crust, it will satisfy the appetite of all fans from big to small. Want to stay glued to your TV for the Illini games? No problem. All 28 Lou's locations deliver. Prefer peace of mind with your piece of pizza? Escape the house and dine at one of Lou's 10 area sit-down restaurants. However you choose to prepare for game day, make Lou Malnati's part of your game plan and satisfy your hunger for victory with Chicagoland's favorite deep dish pizza. Call 1-800-LOU-TO-GO. That's 1-800-LOUTOGO for store locations and menus. Or visit Lou's online at www.loumalnati's.com.
You find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzoCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzoCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com.